Gospel of John, chapter number 8. And you've been seated a while. Let's stand together and we'll reverence God's word as we read it. And give you a moment to stretch your legs a moment. And Brother Jackie and Miss Anita, thank you for the temptation. 2 days? No, that'll last about a half a day. No, okay. Oh goodness! If some of you wondered why I got up in the choir loft while the congregation had their heads bowed, it was because I was going around shaking hands, and somebody let me know, Brother Randy let me know that yet another pair of pants I have on, the whole tail end has ripped out of, and then he gives me chocolate. This ain't from gaining weight. These, my suits are about 15, 20 years old, and they've just, I took my wife back there and she was going to try to pin it, and they just shredded. I mean, it's just shredded. I've preached at them so many times and wore them so many times, they've just had their better day. But so anyway, I thought while y'all's eyes were closed, I would save you having to see that. But Gospel of John, chapter number 8, it's already about 14 minutes till 12, and so we will not get done this morning, which I got two messages anyway, and so we'll see how far we can get. I do want to encourage you, be back tonight. We will be showing Brother Alex Larson and his family's new video that was professionally done. And I'm telling you, it is out of the hundreds, if not thousands, of missionary videos I've seen, by far, this is the best. And Brother Alex done a tremendous job on it, and I hope you'll be here tonight to see that. And we'll be back at 6. Also, choir practice. I know y'all hadn't had it in a while, but if you sing in the choir, or if you don't, and you'd like to, you say, well, I don't get up in the choir because I don't know what they're going to sing. Well, here's your perfect opportunity to get in and come and practice today at 5 o'clock. So be here for that, all right? And Gospel of John, chapter number 8, verse number 32. Very familiar verse. The Bible said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning and again tonight. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. Ain't you glad at living in a world of lies? It seems like every direction you turn, it's lies from the politicians, lies from here and there and everywhere. But thank God there is an absolute truth, something that we can anchor our souls in, something that we can anchor our future destiny in, something that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that is absolute, that is not moving or shifting. But this is the truth, and so thank God for the truth. And what got my mind to thinking along these thoughts as I began to consider a title or an introduction a few weeks ago, if you'll remember, President Trump signed one of his many executive orders, and he is moving at breakneck speed, and I say, praise the Lord, move on. And he is doing a tremendous job. But one of the executive orders he signed was to release all of the classified files on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and Senator Robert Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And but that there have been decades and decades and decades go by, and all these conspiracy theories and all this banter and people with their opinions of what really happened. Well, the response to that single act has created weeks and weeks of discussion of why it was ever classified in the first place. And I have questions such as, why would the murder of the president of the United States of America be classified anyway? Why would it take this many years to declassify something like that? Who are they protecting? Why are they protecting? And one thing is certain, it will finally be put to rest once all the truth comes out. If all the documents, as have been ordered, all the documentation comes out, it should put all the lies and conspiracies to bed. Because this is the reality. Where truth is hidden, deception and confusion flourishes. On the other hand, where truth is upheld and brought to light, righteousness and prosperity flourishes. And the word truth is found in your King James Bible 224 times. There are several interesting and yet very diverse responses to truth mentioned in the Scriptures. Number one, they are those that despise the truth. That sounds like an oxymoron. Who would despise the truth? Well, I just give you a good example. Our government, they don't want the truth to get out about all kind of things. Have you noticed how much hate and vitriol has been cast at the president and at a man like Elon Musk, who don't even work for the government? He just went in free of charge and tried to start hacking away at all the frivolous waste, and they hate that. They hate the truth being revealed. And it's the same when it comes to any truth. The Word of God's filled full of people, and God tells us about those who will despise the truth. Apostates, they hate the truth. They're against the truth. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 4 says. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Listen, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We're living to see that day where men and women and families don't want to hear the Word of God preached in its entirety. I don't want it preached in context. They want you to veer away from certain subjects. They don't want you to call it. I've had people leave the church over preaching against certain subjects that God takes a firm stand on. And I'm here to tell you, if God takes a firm stand on it, that's the truth, and that's where I'm going to stand on it, whether it's in my family, whether it affects my family or my friends or my neighbors. Listen, the truth is the truth. God told us that there would come a time where people would turn from the truth and be turned to fables. Listen to what Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says. The Bible said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And so then there's those people who despise the truth, but then there's those people who distort the truth. The Bible tells us about, listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. God is speaking in Romans chapter 1, and it is as fitting for our day in 2025. I mean, the book of Romans was penned by the Apostle Paul many, many, many years ago. I mean, a long thousands of years ago. And look how it fits where we are living, which ought to tell all of us God's Word is truth, and it's a unique book that it's always relevant. It's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 1, who changed the truth. I'm talking about people who distort the truth. God said, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means God said, I've had enough. You didn't want the truth. You rejected the truth. You distorted the truth. And so there comes a point in your life, if you have never been saved, that you can reject and repel the truth enough that God will turn you over to where you have a reprobate mind. That means a mind that cannot tell good versus evil anymore. What a scary place to be. But you look around our world and you see. How many of you saw where the hostages were released over the weekend? Those that on October the 7th last year, they went in and they took that precious family, that mother and those two precious babies, and they took them down, and those terrorists has kept them, but they killed and they mutilated and they beat those little bitty babies and murdered them as they did the mother. And then on the news, they was having parades, and I saw children standing up and clapping at the coffins, and with smiles on their face, they were clapping as they saw those precious little children. You say, what could cause men to get that way and to be that perverse and that vile? I'll tell you, there comes a point when you reject truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And that's over in the Middle East. But let me come to America right quick. Have you seen, have you looked around and seen this wicked, wicked, vile, wretched, filthy, perverse generation that where, listen, they are taking our children and trying to program their brains. And I read this and heard this over the weekend that, listen, thank God for elections. I ain't here to be political this morning, but I'm telling you, I read the verses this morning where God said, pray for them that have authority over you. Listen, I thank God we ain't going the same direction that we was 4 weeks ago. I thank God we got a president who knows what truth is and has common sense and stood up and said, there will be no more transgender. We got men. And we got women. That's, hey, listen, thank God for that. Oh, my. I'm simply saying, did you know? I ain't never seen the first Jesus Christ superstar. And wouldn't. But I've seen where they're coming out with another Jesus Christ superstar. And Jesus is being played by a woman. And I've listened to person after person after person say how that is okay, because really Jesus was and is just whoever you want him to be. What can make a person? Because last I read, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. And so he ain't just some figment of our imagination. He's not just some mystical person that may or may not have lived in history. No, Jesus did. He was born. He did live sinless. He was a man. He did die on a cross. He did raise from the grave. He is victorious. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And yet this wicked world has distorted and perverted best they can even Christ himself. And the Bible goes on and said in verse 28 in Romans chapter 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Can I say to you, I am not telling you go kill people who are homosexuals and lesbians, but I'm telling you the last thing God said about them was they worthy of death. And that kind of preaching right there will get me put in jail before I'm dead. There's already preachers in the country right above us, Canada, who were serving time right now for doing way less than what I just stated. They're in prison in Canada this morning for praying silently right outside of an abortion clinic. Not even opening their mouth. And it's coming. I'm talking about people who distort the truth. And hey, listen, we better man up and we better get our mind and our hearts right to the place that we are not. Hey, by the grace of God, I'm going to stand on the truth. Come what may, if it costs me going to jail, I'm going to stand on the truth. If it costs me my money, if it costs me my leisure, if it costs me all my comfortable living, I'm going to stand on truth. And so should you. Because truth matters, and I ain't about to distort it. Amen. And a preacher who does ain't worth his salt. He ain't a God-called preacher. He's a hireling. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And listen, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, the devil's got preachers too. And I ain't talking about in the satanic church. He's got his call. Listen, God's got his God-called men, but the devil's got some called people serving in churches as well. How do you think the Methodist Church opened their arms wide open to the gay, the LGBT community? How do you think Andy Stanley, right up the road, throwed his arms wide open to the sodomites and the queer and the lesbians and all that, and even promoted them and put them in leadership in his church? He said, "Oh, you offended me." Well, be offended. It's the truth. Do your homework. Read the Bible and let God be true and every man a lie. I don't care who his daddy is. I know who God is. I know what God said, and it ain't right. And we wonder why we're losing our children. Amen. And by the way, it ain't just preacher's place to speak on this. It's your place at the work site. It's your place at the schoolhouse. If you're a teacher, you say, "Well, I got to stay inside my curriculum and I got guidelines." Well, hey, listen, if I'm willing and have to go to jail over this, you ought to be willing to say the truth wherever you at. Amen. Well, that's going to hurt my bottom line. Well, whoop-de-doo. The truth is at stake here. Our children's lives and their minds are on the balance here. Revelation 22:19, "And if any man shall take away from the words," I'm talking about distorting truth. This is how serious God considers truth. "If any man shall take away from the words of this book," of this prophecy, "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." I would consider it a very dangerous thing to try to add to or take away from what God has said. Amen. So we got those who deny truth. We got those who distort truth. And then there's those, praise God, and this is all we're going to get to is the introduction, but there are those who desire truth. And I hope that's you this morning. I hope you are a Christian who, whether it hits you and it, hey, listen, sometimes the truth hurts. Are you hearing me? It hurts me. It skins me up. I've had preachers preach and I mean just tear my hide up. But I needed it. Don't be in that crowd who heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Don't be in that crowd who want distorted truth. Listen, it's either all the truth or it's not the truth at all. Amen. So to those, there are those that desire the truth. The Bible said, Psalms 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." I'd say them people, they said, "Teach me, Lord. Whatever you teach me, if it's truth, if you teach me truth, I'll walk in it." Then Psalm 119:30, "I have chosen the way of truth." That's what you should do. That's what I should do. That's what every born-again believer ought to do. Saying, "I don't care what the world says. I don't care how famous or how popular this or that is. I don't care if it's in my own family. I'm going to choose truth." He said, "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." Psalm 33. And I got, just give me 3 minutes. I've got 3 or 4 verses out of Psalm 33 that I was going to read, and I just couldn't. I went ahead and got the whole psalm. It's just so good. Psalm 33. The Bible said in verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and in the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." Listen, verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right,
and all his works are done in truth. In other words, if God said it, it's right. I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care what my opinion is. If God said it, it's right. And all of God's words and his works are truth. Verse 5 said, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Say, truth's powerful. I mean, by the word of the mouth of God, the heavens were made. He spoke the worlds into existence out of nothing. It's amazing. Verse 7, he said, he gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 9. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Truth obeys him. Truth follows him. Him and truth cannot be separated. Jesus, God, he is truth. His words are truth. His ways are truth. And he is truth. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Listen, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. I want to tell you something. I desire to hear truth. I desire truth. And so should you. I don't want to distort it. God forbid. I don't want to deny truth. God forbid. I desire truth. And every Christian should. We desire it. Hey, listen, you desire truth when you go to the doctor, don't you? You might not always like what they say, but you at least want the truth. Are you listening? You don't want them tickling your ears and watering it down and saying, well, you know, you got a little bit of cancer in there somewhere, but we can get around that. It ain't no big deal. Just take you a couple of aspirin and see me next year. Everything else looks good. Have a good day. That's how we as Christians want the preacher to do. Don't go digging over here. In my life, don't you dare say that. Now, you can preach on this and this and this, but I don't want to hear that truth. Because that truth is involving me and how I'm living. Well, you don't get mad at the doctor. Matter of fact, you demand it of him. So, in medicine, we want the truth. In mechanics, we want the truth. You go take your car, something's skipping, something ain't acting right. You don't want them jerking you around. You don't want them telling you, oh, go on that 8-hour drive. It'll be fine. And you get 4 hours in, and you got to pay to have it towed, and it costs you twice as much and way worse the headache. Wouldn't it have been way better to demand it and desire the truth up front and say, hey, as bad as it is, give it to me. Let me know what I'm looking at. Amen. Ain't that right? Ain't that what we want? So we want the truth in medicine. We want the truth in mechanics. We want the truth and need the truth, and we ought to desire the truth when it comes to morality. Why is it that we want it in these other areas, but when it comes to morality, we don't? We get picky. We're like, make that a buffet, please. I'll take what I want and leave what I don't. No. How about let's try this for a motto? Nothing but the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Give it to me, Lord. I want the truth. And if it hits me, then I need to be hit. You want to tell you what the problem is about morality? Preachers behind pulpits quit preaching truth. And churches hurt and starved from it. And that's how we got in the condition we are in. And they did so because of pressure from society, pressure from friends and family, pressure from finances. I'm telling you, for whatever reason, somewhere along the way, preachers quit preaching on morals and on morality. And you know what happens, Brother Jackie? If you give me this with the intention of me not preaching on some sin in your life, then you can have it back. Because I would become your hireling. If you was trying to entice me like, oh, he knows something about me, and here. Well, we would never make it that blatant. But I tell you what, listen to me, preachers know. If I deal with this subject, it's going to upset some people. And it'd just be easier if I didn't mess with that. And then it'd be easier if I didn't mess with that. And then what they didn't give truth on became the norm, and then it's real hard to deal with. Our standards that started up here, where we had real standards, where we had morality, where God said, I want it this way. Preachers used to preach it hard, straight, and tight. And people would obey, and when they didn't, they'd get right with God, and then they'd obey the truth. And they didn't get mad at the preacher, because the preacher's just a delivery man. But I'm telling you, listen, it started out with homosexuals, lesbians, and now look where we are. Listen to me. Who would have ever thought we'd have preachers in America that wouldn't preach against this abomination, this perversion? Do you know in New Hampshire, they take all in the school system, the public school system, and if it's happening there, I'm sure it's happening all over the country. They take the whole school, not class by class, they take the whole school, this is fact, and they put them in the gymnasium, and they get a man or a woman up in front of them, and they say, everybody close your eyes, and everybody has to participate, and don't worry about what your mama told you. Don't worry about what your daddy told you. Don't worry about what anybody's told you, but just imagine. I'm talking about 5-year-olds, 8-year-olds. Close your eyes, and don't be confined by what everybody's told you you are, that body you were born into, but who do you think you are? What gender do you want to be. And that is happening at mass scale across our country and world. And then it gets in vogue, it gets cool, and it becomes fad. And there has been a, listen, and we are destroying our children's minds, and we are polluting, and we are doing irreparable harm. We are putting drugs in their bodies. We are chopping parts off of their bodies. We are mutilating our children in this country. And it can never be fixed. You know why? Because somebody deserted truth. Somebody distorted truth. And somebody wasn't willing up to stand and declare truth. Come what may. And we cannot afford it any longer. Amen. You say, well, I got some friends. You may have. It's still wrong. And the more, you can love a sinner and hate their sin, but the Bible clearly says if they walking in ways like that, we ought not to fellowship with them. We ought to mark them and withdraw fellowship from them. You ought not to be hanging out with gay people and lesbians. You ought not to be welcoming them people in your home to have a meal. Transgender, hey, you know what that does? You're normalizing it. You're normalizing it. And you're saying, hey, child, I know I wouldn't tell you. I don't want you to do that. But you're telling them it's okay. You're saying something with your mouth, but your actions are different. And I promise you, they will follow what you do, not what you say. Amen. We've allowed the devil and the wicked men and women of this world to push this anti-truth straight out of hell, this abominable lie that it's okay to allow and even pressure children to determine what gender they are. And then we wonder, how did we get in this awful mess we're in? I'm telling you, because we chose to allow crooked and perverse men and women to distort truth. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman, listen, you don't know what the truth says? You don't know what the truth is? Can I give you the truth? Y'all been amen-ing now. Don't die here. I'll throw a songbook at you. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. But don't you die on me right here. I'm about to read out of the same Bible that you've been amening. This is what the Bible says. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. That's the truth. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care how much you think society has evolved. That's truth. Because Michael Rochester didn't say it. I didn't come up with it. I didn't set that as a moral standard. God did. And he says it's an abomination for a man to put on women's clothes. And it's an abomination for women to put on men's clothes. You ought to be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman. And I'll even go, Yeah, I will. It's truth. And I'll take my time and find the verses for you. But the Bible, God made men and women to be different. He even said, doth not nature itself teach a man that it's a shame to have long hair? But a woman's long hair is her glory. So just as bad as a long-haired hip, a man having long hair as women, you ought to take glory in your hair. Let it grow. That's your glory. That's what the Bible said. Don't you get mad at me. That's the truth. You ought not to want to look like some old ugly, lumpy man. God give you beauty. You're a beautiful thing. Women are beautiful. Men are ugly. Don't try to look like us. Let your hair grow. Put women's clothes on. And by the way, we'll see how many come back tonight. I said, we want the truth in medicine, mechanics, morality. Most everybody's been with me. But you know, when we dropped our guard on women, it been okay for women to wear men's clothes. Men were, and that's where this transgender stuff, that it starts little and then it grows. And we okay it, okay it. Are you listening? What are we okay when it comes to desiring truth? When it comes to modesty? Hello, Tokyo. Y'all out there? Modesty. Oh, preacher, what is that? We ain't heard that word in so long. Well, it used to be preached on quite often. And it's still in your Bible. And it's still the truth. First, hey, you say, well, that verse you just read, was out of Deuteronomy. That was the Old Testament. That was under the law. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. But here's just so I can calm your nerves. Here's one out of the New Testament, if you want one, about modesty. Because don't you want the truth? Don't you want to know what God says about it? It's what God says about modesty. In like manner, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Go home and read yourself. I didn't make this up. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. With shamefaced and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. God said that a woman ought to adorn herself in modest apparel. That's the introduction. I ain't done. By no means am I done. But I'm going to leave. I got to stand behind this pulpit and it's killing me. Listen, or I'll be immodest. Listen, I don't want to be immodest. I don't. But neither should you. I don't want to be immoral. But neither should you. And so God said, don't wear stuff, ladies. Listen. I know what time it is. I ain't preached this long on Sunday, so you can get over it. I didn't start the 15 till. Amen. Listen to me. I'm done, but listen to me before you go home. I've been noticing, and I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm doing this on a Sunday morning on purpose. I love you. But ladies, you got to do better. When it comes to now, I ain't going to come to your house and look through your blinds and see what you're wearing. You'd have a right to shoot me, because I would you if you come to my house trying to check out what me or my wife or girls are wearing. I'm not going to follow you around town and check out and see what you're wearing, see whether it's modest or moral. But I'm the pastor of this church. Are you listening to me? And I'm telling you, I'm pleading with you, because I've already said it 3 or 4 times, nice, in passing, not drawing a big attention to it, but I'm pleading with you, don't make me deal with this publicly. If you're in a position in this church, ladies, you should have a dress on at church. Wearing what pertaineth to a woman. That means if you teach a class, you say, but I work and I come straight from work. That pathetic excuse is as simple as, I will help you fix that excuse right now. Take a skirt with you to work, slide it on, pull them off, and walk in the church. Don't play games with me. I ain't telling you what you have to wear out there, but if you, and I ain't telling you can't wear pants to church. I'm telling you ain't going to be in leadership. It's that simple. You ain't gonna be in the choir, and I've let this go too long, and it's become almost normalized. So I'm dealing with it not personally, but publicly, as a whole, because I love you, because it's truth. Amen. Ladies, let's respect God and God's house, and come to church in a skirt that's modest, meaning covering your knees. Where every man, oh my goodness, let me get behind the pulpit, ain't looking at you, that your top's up high enough that every man ain't looking down your shirt or blouse and having to. And I'm up here preaching. You'll be amazed at how many directions I can't look at. Just preaching. And that's a shame. Be modest. And that ain't my opinion. That's what God said. But I am, as the pastor, just like if you was a superintendent of a job. It's your, listen, the buck stops with you. You got to make the call. So, oh, them fellas ain't got it. I know they say wear safety glasses, but hey, man, you got to wear a hard hat. Hey, that's all right. Let it go. Until somebody gets their eye knocked out or their head caved in, then they come into the superintendent. Well, I'm going to have to stand before God one day at how I pastored this church. And I give you truth this morning. Don't say the preacher said I can't come back to church if I'm wearing pants. I didn't say that. I told a woman asked me this week, what's the dress code around there? I said, you come any way you want. She's lost. I wasn't about to tell her. You catch people before you clean them. You catch fish before you clean them. Listen. But if you are in leadership, at that point you chose to be in leadership. You raised your hand. You stepped up and said, I want to be more than more is required. Where much is given, much is required. Amen? Well, that's the truth. And you ought to desire it. And I love you. And I said, I made that. And of all days, I come to church with a ripped pants leg out. All the way up back of my leg. So I'm an immodest preacher this morning, but it wasn't on purpose. I need some new suits terribly bad. That's right. So tonight, that's the introduction. Tonight, we're going to get into the heart of the message, and it'll get way easier and way, there's a whole lot more for you to amen, but this was just down to the ground where we needed this morning. We need to pick our standards up. The Bible still says, come out from among them, speaking of the world, and be ye separate. Amen. The church, they ought to be something more holy around here. This is the house of God. We ought not dress up and come to church like we're just going anywhere else. We ought to come with our best. And if your best is a t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans, bring it on. But if it ain't, do your best. This is God's house. Amen. Amen. That used to not be controversial, but it is these days, and I want our church to be all we can be for God. And if we're gonna be, we got to do it in truth. In truth. Amen. Truth being the foundation from everything that we build from. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand.